Yes, I wanted to talk about kingdom authority and taking authority over negative thoughts, attacking thoughts, accusing thoughts, all that kind of stuff. And so this is how, bless you, this is how things normally work with the enemy. So several people had come to me this week complaining about this kind of stuff and needing help with this kind of stuff. I'm like, okay, I'll do another teaching on this on Wednesday night. And all the people that came and talked about it and said they were struggling with this, they're not here tonight. Yeah. So that's why I'm going to record it. Maybe they can listen to it. All right. Negative thoughts, condemning thoughts, confusing thoughts, thoughts that sap your energy and strength. Do you notice how quickly those negative thoughts, those constant pesky negative thoughts drain your strength? Right? The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come to have that they would have life and have it to the full, says Jesus. All right, so the first thing is don't play with the thoughts, and that is such an easy thing. It's such a temptation to play with the thoughts, entertain them, let them roll around in your head, think about them, muse on them. We just do. They're just in our head, and we just sort of allow it, and then after a while, we sort of encourage it, and we're like sort of passively wrestling with it. But the longer you entertain them, the more power you give them. The longer you let that accusing thought or that negative thought or that condemning thought, whatever it is, the longer you entertain it, the more power you give it. Entertaining them also gives them permission to remain. So if you keep entertaining that thought, you're giving it legal authority to remain. So you have to learn to catch them and deal with them very quickly. The quicker, the better. Learn to compare the thought in your head with the character of God. This is what trips up most people because these thoughts start to come and they think that it's normal. They think that this is just the way it is, or they think that this is true about me. But they don't understand the character and the nature of God, who God is and who God says we are. And when we really begin to have a full understanding of who God is and who we are, we're quicker to recognize, hey, this thought in my head, it's not right. And getting sound theology with our understanding of who God is and how the enemy can attack us. Met with a woman last week, struggling with all of this kind of stuff. And she's telling me all the stuff that's going on. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, you've got a demon. That's okay. We can help you with that. No, no, she says, I can't have a demon. I'm a Christian. How long have you been wrestling with these thoughts? Oh, 30 years or whatever it was. I'm a Christian, you can't have a demon. I'm like, all right, well, let me just pray for you. I don't argue with those people, I just prove them wrong. I put my hand on her shoulder and I start praying. I'm between 30 seconds and a minute into praying for her, and she motions with her hand. I thought you wanted a Kleenex, I put a Kleenex in her hand. And she's like, no, the garbage can. Nice. Slide the garbage can over and said, game on. It only took her 30 seconds to realize that she had a demon once I started to pray for her. But see, her whole life she lived with these negative thoughts because she thought that a Christian couldn't have a demon. We got to get the understanding of who God is, what he thinks about us, and what Satan is allowed to do if we let him. So we have to understand the character of God and catch these things quickly. 2 Corinthians 11:4 there, it says, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So Satan can come off as an angel of light. He can come off as one who is righteous. And so, especially as it relates to self-condemning thoughts, the enemy will sound religious and self-righteous. But you got to be quick to catch that. Wait. Does this thought that I have in my head, does it really match up to the character of God? Because Satan will come and he will speak and he will whisper and he will make it sound religious. I see this one a lot. Oh, well, I have to beat myself and I have to do all this crazy stuff because I'm a bad person. No. That's not God. Remember Psalm 139. I talk about this psalm all the time. Psalm 139 talks about, it starts out where he's saying, you know, where can I go from your presence? You hem me in behind and before. If I go up to the heights, you are there. If I go down to the depths, you are there. Where can I go from your presence? Then it says, you knit me together in my mother's womb. Your eyes saw my unformed body before any of my days came to be. And then it ends with, how precious to me are your thoughts, O Lord. Where do I count them? They would outnumber the grains of sand in all the earth. So the whole of Psalm 139 is how God sees us and how he views us. And it's all positive. It's all positive. I knit you together in your mother's womb. We know from other passages that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that God has counted the hairs on our head and he's caught every tear we've shed. And so God has all these thoughts for us. And then at the end of Psalm 139, it says that they outnumber all the grains of sand on all the earth. And they're all positive. And then the enemy comes along with his little puny lies. Is God good and who are you? Those negative thoughts that are rolling around in your head most of the time, it's that lie number two. Who are you? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? The two lies, in case you haven't heard this, I know some people are new here. Satan only has two lies. In the Garden of Eden, he comes to Eve and says, did God really say? He's calling into question the goodness of God. Eve, God is holding out on you. He told you not to eat from this tree, but I want you to question his goodness because I think this tree is for you. So lie number one is God good? He calls into question the goodness of God. Lie number two comes thousands of years later in the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. So where Adam fell short, Jesus comes to restore and to make right what Adam couldn't do. And so if Jesus gets it right, all of mankind is redeemed. And so Satan knows he's got to stop it. And so he comes to Jesus in the wilderness and goes, who do you think you are? Are you really the Son of God? If you are, throw yourself off this cliff. He comes to call into question personal identity. Who do you think you are? And when you think about it, people have challenged me on this, and I've yet to find anyone to prove me wrong. Every single negative thought you hear in your head is related to one of those two lies. Satan is either calling into question the goodness of God. God forgot about you. God's good for other people, but he forgot about you. And you're suffering because he doesn't see you. Calling into question, questioning the goodness of God. Or lie number two, who do you think you are? You can't do that. You can't minister that way. You can't help that person. You're never going to amount to anything. Look at you. Look at the sin in your life. You're a loser. Every negative thought either calls into question the goodness of God or who do you think you are? And so when we understand the character and nature of God, and when we understand who we are in Christ, and we understand those two lies, then all those negative thoughts that come at us, we can catch them, and we can catch them quick. Wait. He's questioning the goodness of God. Wait a minute. I'm not that. I'm not a loser. And yes, I can do this. And yes, I can minister to this person. And yes, I can have freedom. Yes, I can get better. People always tell me, I'm going to be stuck this way forever. I'm never going to get free. Turns out you were set free 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on a cross and said, it is finished. So it's already a done deal. You're already free. Now we just learn to walk in it. So we catch the thought. Now I want you to look at this passage in 2 Corinthians 10:3. I quote this passage more than any other. I'm ripping it terribly out of context, but it's okay because it works. You can do this. And it works. Paul was talking about some people that were spreading false gospels and false information, but it works for what we're going to do. 1 Corinthians 10:3, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they, meaning our weapons, have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension. A pretension is something that is false. Every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Now think about the lies that are going on in your head. It's a pretension that has set itself up against the truth, the knowledge of who God is and who we are. And then we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Let that sink in for a minute. All of those negative thoughts in your head must be obedient to Christ. Those thoughts don't get to have a reign. They don't get to have a rule. They don't get to have truth. They don't get to have sway in your life. They get to be obedient to Christ and what he thinks about you. So we are going to make those thoughts obedient to Christ. We're going to take them captive and make them obedient to Christ. And then he goes on, and we'll be ready to punish every act of disobedience. We can punish those thoughts for their disobedience and the way they have defied the King of Glory. I'll read it to you again in the message. The world is unprincipled. It's dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair. But we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have, never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for the demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Don't you love the way Eugene Peterson says that? Because he nails it. We take every loose thought, every emotion and impulse, and we force that into the structure of life shaped in Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for the clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. So the NIV just has taking thoughts captive. The Message Bible adds emotions and impulses, because they all come under the authority of Christ. We get to make all of that submit to the kingdom of God when we take it captive. So, all right, you have a negative thought. You have a negative emotion. You have something that is simply untrue. You have to catch the thought quickly. And again, this comes down to understanding the character and the nature of God. Wait, this thought is not right. Grab hold of it in your mind. Then tell the thought to stop. I command this thought, stop right now in the name of Jesus. Don't agree with it. Repent if you have agreed with it. I even gave you a sample sentence there. Lord, I'm sorry for believing this lie about myself. Please forgive me. Whatever it is, whatever that lie has been in your head, I'm no good, I'm never going to amount to anything, I can't do this. Lord, I'm sorry I believe that about myself. Please forgive me. You can do all things in Christ Jesus. It's a done deal. Things already dried on the contract. You can do all things in Christ Jesus. So any voice that tells you can't is lie. Break agreement with it. So you repent if you've already agreed with it. If you've bought in, yeah, I'm never going to amount to anything. I'm just not. Repent to that. Then break agreement with it. I do not agree with this lie that I will not amount to anything. This is not the truth of God about me. I break agreement with it in the name of Jesus. Okay? Catch the thought. Tell the thought to stop. Don't agree with it. Repent if you have. Break agreement with it if you have. Then speak the truth to the thought. Remember, it says we're going to take them captive and make them obedient to Christ. How do you tell a dog to be obedient? Seriously, if there's a dog, the dog has been trained, and the dog understands command authority, and the dog's running around, but you want the dog to sit, what do you do? Do you like, man, I hope that dog sits down. I'm pretty sure that dog was trained. I hope it sits down. You look at the dog and you go, sit down. Sit. Right? You speak to it so that it can obey. The negative thought in your mind has to submit to the authority of Christ Jesus, and you can speak to it just like you would tell a dog to sit. You tell the thought, stop. And then you speak truth to it. Tell it to submit to Jesus. This lie that I will not amount to anything, I bring you before the truth of Jesus Christ and what he says about me. Again, know the character of God and how he sees you. You know, God is not up there looking down on you going, huh, boy, I don't know. That Tim guy, man, he's pretty messed up. He doesn't do that. Especially when we're in Christ Jesus, he looks down at us and goes, man, that Tim, he's all right. Look at him go. And I want to bless him. Even when we sin, he sees us through Jesus. He's sad when we sin, but we've got Jesus to repent and get right back. So he's never up there just looking on us like, oh boy. But when you hear that voice, that's not him. Tell that voice to submit. Speak to it. Know what God has promised. 2 Timothy 1:7. For the Spirit that God gave us does not make us timid. Why are so many Christians timid? It says that the Spirit that God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and a sound mind. So when we're dealing with these thoughts in our head, don't be timid. He did not give us a spirit of timidity. If there's a spirit telling you that there's something wrong with you or that God's not good, don't be timid. Come against it with authority. Come against it, respond to it in power. Respond to others in love, because the Spirit that he gave us loves us, so we can respond to others in love. And then claim your sound mind. You see that? The Spirit that God gave us does not make us timid, but he gives us power. So we do not have to respond to the thoughts timidly. We can come against them with power. We can respond in love, and we can claim a sound mind because it's already been promised. You can claim a sound mind. There are so many people I know, like what's in their mind is a train wreck, but you get to claim a sound mind. It's yours. Then, once you've gone through all these steps that we've covered so far, then you fill that place where the lie was with a truth and a promise. Find scriptures that speak to the lies that the enemy uses against you. Most people, typically, there's just a few lies that they're constantly hearing from the enemy. Find the scriptures that speak to those lies. And then you take that thought captive, you catch it. Don't agree with it, break agreement with it. But then you speak it. You speak to that lie and you say, no, the Lord says this about me. I have a right to a sound mind. I have a plan and a purpose for my life. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Whatever it is, you speak to it. Because remember, we're making it obedient to Christ Jesus and we can punish it. Use the scriptures as your weapons. And as you get good at this, the lies start to happen less and less. When you start, it's going to be a struggle. But as you get good at this, after a while, the lies just know not to mess with you. And you can go through this whole process so quickly that when a lie does come, you can just stop it like that. And you begin to build a track record. So you get confidence in yourself and your ability to walk in your authority. And you build a track record with seeing Jesus come through for you and help you in these situations. And so this stuff just begins to happen less and less. Okay, we're going to practice. right? Flip back over to the first page. Remember, the first thought is to catch the thought quickly. Well, we're fishing in a barrel tonight. You're not out in real life where the thought suddenly comes at you and you got to grab it. We're going to start with it already caught. But what's the number one negative thought that's been tormenting you today or recently? Just in your own mind, what's the thought, what's the negative thing that's been coming against you? And then just begin to work through it. Tell the thought to stop. I command this thought in my mind, stop right now in the name, I take hold of you. Now, if you've agreed with it, break agreement with it. I do not agree with this. You know, whatever it is, stay it. I don't agree with this lie that fill in the blank. If you've agreed with it, repent. Lord, I'm sorry I agreed with this lie. I'm sorry I agreed with this statement about me that is not true. I'm sorry I agreed with this statement about you that's not true. I'll break agreement with it. I do not agree. This is not the truth about God or about me. I break agreement with this lie. Even right now, there's somebody in there that's struggling with shame. Shame is trying to come against somebody right now. A condemning shame that you need to do more. You need to submit or almost abuse yourself more. There's a shaming lie coming on somebody right now. Just stop it. Break agreement with it. Now speak the truth to it. Tell that lie what is truth. If it's attacking the nature of God, speak the truth about the nature of God. If it's attacking you, your identity, speak the truth to it. You're created in God's image. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He has a plan and a purpose for your life, and you can accomplish all things in Christ Jesus. Now, and this one's a slight variation. You're not speaking to the lie anymore. You're filling the empty place where the lie was. Grab hold of a promise of God. Grab hold of a truth of God about you or about him. And just put it in that place where the lie was so there's no more room for that lie to be there. There's somebody here right now that you're struggling with. There's a lie that's been coming at you, and you've convinced yourself it's just who you are, it's your personality. But it's not your personality, it's not how God created you to be. It's a lie from the enemy telling you that you're that way. Jesus, we just ask that you now, in this moment, crush all of these lies that have been dealt with, that they may not come back, they may not torment anymore, that these lies are finished. Teach each one of us here tonight how to lay hold of this lie, to take it captive to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone got like a real quick testimony that you want to share? Like, did you feel, hear, or sense anything just now that is worth sharing? Suzanne. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. There are... Yeah. You know, I mean, that's a huge thing. In the world that we live in, racism and bigotry, I mean, they shape people's identity. Like, the world is constantly telling certain segments of people there's something wrong with you. Everywhere you look, you're black, there's something wrong with you. You don't fit here, you don't belong in whatever. You know, it's a constant, it's a struggle that other people can't even relate to. Yeah. But we think you're beautiful. Yeah, but yeah, that's a reality a lot of people live under. Yeah. All right, I want to pass these out. This is just kind of a generic renewal of the mind prayer. And once you have one, I'll explain it a little bit. Again, this is just kind of a generic one, but I'm giving this to you as a template. You know, when Jesus taught his disciples the Lord's Prayer, he gave that to them as a template. And the church tended to just make it a rote thing that they would pray. Emerson is just not happy. It's close to bedtime. I know, I'm ready for bed. I hear you. I'm there. I've just a tiny bit of a cold that during the day doesn't bother me at all, but at night when I lay down, I know that I have a cold. So again, this is just a template, and you can customize this. And you know, if even if you needed help customizing it, let me know. We'll sit down together, and I'll help you find some language to customize this thing. And you can make it specific to certain situations that you're struggling with, that you're dealing with. But this is kind of a generic thing. So we're going to read through it together in unison. We're going to pause at the bottom of the first page because there's a built-in pause there. And then we'll flip it over and read the back of it together. But we're going to read through it together in unison real slow. And you'll kind of see what it is and what it does. And then again, you could take segments out and you could add segment, or you could expand on a segment that's a certain area that you need help in, okay? So let's just start at the beginning and just read through it in unison, out loud, together. It'll seem dorky, but that's okay. Lord Jesus, I come to you on this day with a desire to have a deeper and more intimate relationship with you. You created my mind to be completely aligned with you and you alone. I confess and I repent that I have conformed my mind more to the patterns of the world and allowed the influences of the world to affect my walk with you. I ask for your transforming power to enter all areas of my mind that you might give me the ability to process all my daily functions by the power of your Holy Spirit. I declare that I believe that you created my innermost being and that my mind is fearfully and wonderfully made by your hand. Do you see the scripture in there? I repent of trying to solve my negative thoughts by my own efforts and hiding in shame rather than turning to receive your love, grace, and healing touch first. Pause for coffee. I choose to forgive my parents, family members, teachers, classmates, fellow workers, and friends, and all other people who have brought me hurt and pain during my life. I want to surrender them to you so that I may walk in freedom. Do you see how right there, if you've had people that have been verbally abusive or really talking down to you, you could expand that little part right there and add some more specific language to that part if you needed. Okay, continuing. I also confess that at times I struggle with forgiving myself, which has allowed the enemy to use guilt and condemnation against me. By not forgiving myself, I confess I do not honor you and want to repent that my mindset and want to restore my relationship with you. I further ask, Lord, that you would remove all ungodly expectations I have placed on myself. Lord, I ask you to remove all generational sins and curses from my family bloodline that may have played a part in my inability to renew my mind. As a representative of my family line, I repent for all those who did not use their mind to glorify you, but rather engaged in worldly and foolish thinking. Again, if you've got some family history, some doing some stuff that's not right, again, you could expand and add to that section. Let's continue. Lord, I repent for those in my family line who have used their minds to misuse the spiritual gifts that you have provided for them. I ask now that the Holy Spirit would lead my human spirit into each area of my brain to identify all ungodly thoughts I have developed. In the name of Jesus, I command all demonic activity to leave me now and ask the Holy Spirit to realign my mind so it completely with the mind of Christ. Yeah, I can read. All right, pause there for a second. It says, I now ask the Holy Spirit would lead my human spirit into each area of my brain to identify all ungodly thoughts I have developed. Just, again, just pray that and just pause. What does he bring to mind? Now, if an ungodly thought pattern came to mind, just repent. Lord, I'm sorry. I've allowed this ungodly thought pattern to be a part of my mind and my life. It's not right. I acknowledge it's not of your kingdom, and I repent. I'm sorry I've agreed with it. And now I break agreement with this ungodly thought pattern. I break agreement with these ungodly thoughts, and I command them to leave now in the name of Jesus. Okay, flip the page over and let's keep reading. In the name of Jesus, I declare that I have a new spiritual, academic, and occupational future that will glorify you, Jesus. I break, shatter, dissolve, and destroy the lie that says my mind will always remain the same. In the name of Jesus, I declare that I will not have any demonic spirit interrupt the path you specifically designed for me. I accept your gift of the spirit of power, love, self-discipline, and a sound mind. Lord, I now ask to give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation that I might succeed in all areas of my life without fear, condemnation, or shame. I further ask that your Holy Spirit guide me so that I may walk in the fruits of the Spirit and experience the redemptive gifts of the Holy Spirit working in my life on a daily basis. Would you reveal to me in the days ahead all other areas of my life that does not glorify you and give me the strength to repent and surrender those areas so that I may be closer to you? I thank you, Jesus, for your unconditional love for me. And I give you all the praise and glory for what you are doing in my life. Amen. So again, I wanted you all to have a copy of this. You can read it as it is, or you can adjust and take out sections or add into sections wherever you feel like you need something there. Okay. Questions and objections. So you struggle with negative thoughts, condemning thoughts. What are your questions? What are your objections? What are your struggles? Jose.
Where do you have negative thoughts about someone else? Does it work the same way? Like, 'cause you feel bad about having those thoughts, but
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I think the place you need to start is asking before the Lord in prayer, say, why am I having these negative thoughts? What about me and my relationship to this person is causing these negative thoughts? Is there jealousy? Is there unrepentant sin? Is there whatever? What's the root cause? Finding the root cause, then if there's a part of it that you need to repent of, okay, I'm jealous of this person, or I sinned against this person and it's still rubbing between us, repent. And if there's something that they did wrong, then just forgive them. But I would just start by asking why it's there, and then just either repenting or confessing or forgiving or whatever needs to happen from that point forward. But there's a root cause. There's a reason why those thoughts are there. Jesus knows. And that's the issue that ultimately needs to be dealt with, is why. Anything else? And here's the thing. You know, I see people with this all the time, and that's why I shared the passage from Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, where it says that God did not give us a spirit that makes us timid, but of power. So often when people are being tormented by the negative thoughts and the condemning thoughts, they're real passive about it. Oh, please stop. Gosh, I wish these negative thoughts would stop. I can't seem to get these negative thoughts to go away. Go after it like your life depended on it, because it does. If he continues to get you to believe these thoughts long enough, your life is at risk. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So when those thoughts are coming, go after it like a rabid dog. Go after it like someone is hurting your own child. Tear into it. Show no mercy to the thought. Do it out loud if you need to, but go after it. Don't be timid. Don't be plagued by it. If you try it on your own and it's not working, come get help. We'll help you. We'll find another path to help you get over it. Funny story. Some of you might remember Eileen that used to come to church here. She was plagued with the negative thoughts, and I worked her through this, and I talked to her about this and all that. And so one day, she's at work, and the negative thoughts start coming at work. So she remembers what I've talked to her about, and out loud, she chooses to say, "Get behind me, Satan." But what she doesn't realize is that there's a coworker standing behind her. And the coworker's like, "What did you say?" I'm like, "Good job, I mean, way to go." I mean, don't play nice with the thoughts. They're not playing nice with you. Their goal is to destroy you, to kill you. Tear into it. You know, after a while, you'll get to realize that it's kind of fun to provoke demons. I was having a conversation with some guy last night, and it was a demonic situation, and he said, "What if we tried this?" I go, "Yeah, that'd probably provoke a demon." And that's a lot of fun. He's like, "You're sick." And this morning he sent me an email. "I tried what you said and it worked." And I go, "Yeah, wasn't it fun?" Any other questions or comments about? Yeah. That's really good. Because we can control our minds sometimes a lot easier than we can control the circumstances around us, right? So we can live in a really negative reality. You know, this is my go-to scripture on that. So in Acts 16, there's a story about Paul and Silas. They've been flogged, which was the 40 lashes minus one. The thought behind that was 40 lashes would kill you. 39 might not. So 39 lashes would take you right to the brink of death. That's a pretty harsh reality. Then it says that they were in the inner cell. And what that means is, in the Roman prisons, the inner cell was the septic tank. So they would have the prison, which was on the ground level, and then they would dig a pit in the middle of the prison, and then all the human waste, they would push it into the pit. And that's where Paul and Silas were, is down in the inner cell, in the inner pit with all the human waste. And now remember, they've been beaten 39 lashes, so their bodies are full of open sores. And so all the human waste is now getting in their open sores. And they're chained in shackles to the wall. So they can't itch and they can't rub all the places it hurts, right? But look what it says. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. So that's a reality that I don't think ever gets any worse than anything we would experience, right? None of us have ever been beaten 39 times and then put in a septic tank. And it says that they were praying and singing hymns. And so I think the direct answer to your question is, how do we deal with negative circumstances, is just keep our eyes on Him. And we pray and we sing hymns in the midst of the worst of all the circumstances. Anything else? Otherwise, I must let the babysitter go. Unless she's tied up.